Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to grow and automate your podcast. My name is Justin J. Moore, and I help coaches launch top 1% podcasts that only take them 1 or 2 hours a week to manage. And I wanted to know, does your podcast audio just lack that warm, rich, and smooth, like low-end sound that captivates listeners? I want to guide you through some simple but incredibly effective ways to enhance your podcast audio quality instantly, ensuring that your podcast sounds professional and engaging, just like the content itself. Now, podcast audio isn't everything. I want to preface this by saying that like your audio should be good so that it's not distracting and should be able to convey that the emotion of your voice and obviously, you know, the more professional and the cleaner it sounds, the richer it sounds, the more professional your show is going to be seen as. And so the audio isn't everything. The message is more important. Knowing who your listener is more important. But combining that with really, really insane audio quality is a surefire way to make sure that listeners come to your show and are instantly impressed. So we're going to talk about a few ways, two main ways that you can improve your podcast audio instantly and completely for free. But there's a whole bunch of kind of subtopics under those two main ideas. But the two main ideas are microphone technique, so how you use your microphone, and then room setup, so the way that your room is set up. Pretty simple. And we're going to break down those things into kind of littler ideas. But by the end of this, you're going to at least have 1 or 2 strategies that you can implement immediately to improve the quality of your podcast audio. So let's just dive right into it. So first of all, microphone technique. Now, I want to start this by saying that there are 2 types of microphones that exist. And one, you may have heard these words thrown around before, but one is called a condenser microphone and one is called a dynamic microphone. And to keep this as simple as possible, and because you don't need to be an expert at this, the condenser microphone is much more sensitive, picks up a lot, like a much broader range of sounds and frequencies. And it's just a very like kind of delicate, sensitive microphone. Whereas a dynamic microphone is more robust. It's not as sensitive. So essentially it's quieter. And let's just leave it at that. So for when I do singing and when I do like vocals for songs and stuff, a lot of times we use condenser microphones. But when you're singing live, you're going to be using a dynamic microphone because it's more forgiving. So I hope that kind of makes sense. You don't really have to go into it more than that. But if you think about podcasting, then if you're not in a professional studio and you're in, you know, your bedroom or some room in your house or something, then you're not going to be able to control the outside sound as like, you know, your cars going by or construction or a plane flying over, whatever. So in almost all cases, using a dynamic microphone is going to be a better choice than using a condenser microphone. So that was just something that I wanted to kind of preface. And when you see this microphone that I'm using the Shure SM7B. It's the one that like all the big podcasters use, kind of the standard. This is a dynamic microphone. This is a forgiving microphone. And it's great for podcasting because even if there's stuff going on outside, like right now my window's open and I can hear cars and traffic going by, you're not going to pick that up. And if I was using one of my other microphones to my right, I've got like 10 condenser microphones on my right, any of those would pick up a lot of that sound. So this is like sort of not an actionable tip, but a microphone like this one, the SM7B, or the Shure MV7, which is another microphone that a lot of people use. It looks like this one, but it's shorter. A lot of other, like Audio Technica 2100, forget what exactly it's called, ATX or something. But lots of the microphones that are recommended are dynamic microphones because they allow your bedroom or your whatever room you're using to still sound really good. So now let's talk about using the microphone. So now that you know the difference between the 2 types of microphones, hopefully you have a dynamic microphone. If you don't, then I would recommend getting something like that because it's going to be easier to make your podcast sound good. But the first like actionable takeaway from this is that you should be talking closer to your microphone. So one thing that I see over and over again, or I should say hear when I'm listening to podcasts, when I'm helping podcasters and coaching them, is that they just have this idea in their minds that they should be farther away from their microphone. The reason they think that is because they don't want their mouth sounds, they don't want popping and plosives like the p- p- peas and all that stuff. And that's totally fair. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that. But number one, if you're using a dynamic microphone, you're going to get a lot less of that anyways compared to if you're using a condenser. So a lot of people use the Blue Yeti microphone. That's a condenser microphone. So that's going to pick up a lot of mouth sounds and a lot of like breathing and heavy plosives and stuff. But by and large, people don't talk close enough to their microphone. And what ends up happening when you don't talk close enough to your microphone is that your audio loses a lot of that really low, rich sound. So the low frequencies of the voice aren't picked up when you move far away from the mic, whereas the high ones still are. And so what you miss is you miss the low end of the voice, but you keep the tinny high end of the voice. And I mean, you can even hear it if I just back my microphone up and I start talking from like here. Now my voice is totally different. It's way thinner. You can barely hear like the depth of the voice. And as I bring it closer, you can get back to hearing that low, rich, warm, low end. So talking closer to the microphone is going to increase that richness and get rid of that thin, tinny sound. But there is a problem that can arise by talking really close to the mic. This microphone in particular is pretty good. I can literally talk directly into it and I don't get any of those plosive sounds. So that's like the really hard P's and T's, like those popping noises. This mic is great at cutting all that stuff out, but your microphone may not be. And so there's two things that you can do to fix that. Number one, this is technically a paid thing. So this would go against the whole free idea that I've brought up here, but it's like, this is going to be so cheap that it's worth saying that it's free anyways. So a pop filter is the first thing that you can do to reduce those plosives. So if I were to take off this piece of foam on this microphone and I were to do like, like a P sound into the front of it, you would get like, it would almost sound like a, I don't know, like a hammer was hitting on the mic, like a big, like bang, bang, right? And that's not such a big deal for people who are like just listening through their phone. But if you listen in a car or you listen in like big headphones, you're going to hear that bassy, booming, low end kind of smacking on the mic. And so the pop filter is just a like screen of foam that's going to reduce the airflow when the voice like presses the air into the microphone. It's going to hit the foam first, and that's going to stop the smack of air on the front, if that makes sense. So number one way to fix that problem is to have a pop filter. The second way would be to place the mic at a 45 degree angle, like what I'm doing here. Now, to be totally honest, I'm not doing this to reduce my plosives. I'm not doing this to stop those pops. I'm just doing it so that you can see my face because I think it looks better. But this microphone is great at making that really not happen anyways. But if you're finding that in your recordings, you're having those popping sounds, and people will tell you because it's really annoying and you might not hear it, but maybe listen back and see if you can hear it. And if that's happening, simply move the mic to a 45 degree angle. So you can look at like the corner of your mouth, like let's say for me, the left side of my mouth, like where my lips meet, essentially very corner. You can touch that corner of your mouth to the front of the microphone and you're still not going to get those plosives because if you can imagine, the microphone's off to the side and you're blowing the air forward. And so the air is missing the microphone. And if you're watching on video, you can see like exactly what I'm talking about. You're not speaking directly into the front or the top of the microphone. You're speaking kind of to the side of it. You lose a little bit of warmth and richness from that. But at the same time, you're mitigating all of those unwanted sounds. And so it's a sacrifice that's worth making. So far, what we've looked at is, in order to get the warm, rich, low end, you should be talking closer to the microphone. However, talking closer, depending on the microphone, can present a problem, which is plosives, P's and everything. And to fix that, you either need a pop filter or you need to talk at 45 degree angle to the microphone or both. And both would be super safe. So that kind of ties all that up. Now, in terms of using your microphone, like, you know, with your actual voice and everything, obviously you want to try to speak at the same distance from the mic. That's obvious. I'm trying to not say things that are obvious because, you know, obviously if you're backing up and going closer and everything, you're going to create like a really inconsistent sound. So just talk closer to the mic, move it at a 45 degree angle, pick up a pop filter, and you'll be good to go. I also just wanted to mention, this is all free techniques. These are all free techniques, but I wanted to mention that a great microphone is the Shure MV7. That is the one that I would recommend using. It does pretty good with mitigating the pops. You can talk pretty close to it. It comes with a pop filter, plugs right into your computer. It's super easy to use. So that's the microphone that I would go with. It's not the cheapest option, but I believe that if you're going to do podcasting, you might as well invest in a decent microphone because it's like the only tool that you use for the entire thing. So it should be pretty good. So yeah, that's it on mic technique. I want to keep it super simple. So like, you know, you don't have to worry about 100 different things, just those things. Now, the next thing is going to be your room setup. And this kind of ties into a few things. So obviously, we want to mitigate background noise. That's like, you don't want to have like a fan going in the back or like some kind of humming. I don't really need to tell anybody that. You guys kind of understand that already. But when you're setting up your room, there's a handful of things that you can do, simple things to improve the quality immediately and with things that you already have like around your house and everything. So let's just break down what these things are. So first of all, you can experiment with like blankets or pillows or anything that's soft. Because what happens in when you're recording your podcast is your voice is going to bounce off of any surface around you. So that means your desk, windows, the floor, the ceiling, everything. It's just like recording vocals for singing. You know, and you see those professional recording studios and they have foam everywhere on the walls. That's because when you speak and it hits the foam instead of the hard surface of the wall, the foam is going to suck the sound in and trap it. And so what ends up happening is that it doesn't bounce back into the microphone, creating that weird, like echoey, kind of like spacey sound that we don't like. And when you're recording your show, the main thing that's going to happen is it's going to bounce off the desk and yeah, the surface in front of you. So one thing that you can do immediately is like, you can just put a blanket on your desk. You can literally just like a thick blanket or a thin one, whatever. You can just lay that down on your desk and place your laptop and everything on top of that. And that's gonna make so that when you speak and your voice hits the desk, it's actually just going to be sucked into the blanket a little bit and it'll still bounce, but it's not going to bounce as much. So it's a simple, easy way to mitigate some of that. The next thing is going to be using some type of rug underneath your desk. So like underneath your chair. So even if it's just like an area rug, any opportunity to create a hard surface into a soft surface is going to help even just in a small way. So having an area rug underneath, or obviously if you can pick a room that has carpet, that's going to make like a really big difference. I'm in a room with carpet and like it makes a massive difference. You can also place, let's say like pillows behind your laptop if that's possible. So for me, I'm recording directly in front of a window because the natural lighting is great and it's just the way my room is set up. And what I'll do is place a pillow right behind my laptop so that when I speak, just think about it, when I speak and my voice goes around and behind my laptop, it's not going to bounce off the window and come back into the microphone. It's just going to smack into the pillow and the pillow is going to take the sound in and then it's going to get stuck in there and that's it. It's not going to come back out. Makes a big difference. So far for your room setup, you can put a blanket on your desk. You can put pillows behind your computer. You can place a rug underneath yourself. And the other way is like, if you have options for where you can record in your house, picking a room that has as many soft pieces of furniture is going to be best. So behind me is a bed. I know it doesn't look optimal. And in the future, when we have a more like permanent place that we're living, I plan to create a pretty nice studio, but for now, the bed soaks up so much of that sound. And obviously there's a rug under me, or a carpet under me, like I mentioned before. But even when I'm recording vocals for songs, I record in here, there's no studio foam on the walls. I actually own pretty expensive foam that I didn't even put up because I don't hear any echo, any bounce in here. And that just is because of the simple things that I mentioned. So no, you don't need like super, super expensive gear and equipment and sound noise canceling audio stuff. It will make a slight difference, but for most people, they're not even going to notice that. The main thing is just that you speak closer to your microphone and you surround yourself with as many soft surfaces as possible. And that is going to really, really help create that rich and tight sound that you want for your show. One more thing that you can do, a paid thing, again, pretty cheap, but for like $50, you can get a whole bunch of foam from Amazon that you can then place on your wall with like those sticky 3M strips. And that absolutely will make a difference. Like if you wanted to put like 20 squares of foam on a wall in front of you when you're recording, that'll make a massive difference because again, it's just going to trap a whole bunch of the sound for you. So in summary, microphone technique is huge. Talking close to the mic, but also talking at a 45 degree angle. If your microphone is picking up a lot of plosives and P's and everything, using a dynamic microphone instead of a condenser microphone, the dynamic is way less sensitive. It's going to pick up way less background noise. It's more forgiving. And then setting up your room, having blankets on your desk, putting pillows behind your computer, having a rug underneath you, choosing a room with soft surfaces. These are the simple, simple ways to immediately improve your audio. So you pretty much just don't record in like, you know, a big open room with hard surfaces everywhere and windows and everything is just bouncing all around. That's like a nightmare. That is a guaranteed terrible audio setup. And that's it. So inside of our free school community, I have put a checklist that you can use to make sure that you are following all the steps to recording. So when you go to record, you can just go through the checklist, make sure that you check everything off one by one, and it'll really, really help you make sure that your audio is as good as possible every single time. Just a good thing to see. And also inside the community, we have tons of opportunities to connect with people and all kinds of resources and stuff for you. So please jump in there. It would mean the world to us. The link is in the show notes.
Okay, so you made it this far, which means you probably found something or learned something valuable from this. So don't be selfish. Please share it with somebody else so that they can learn something from it too. That's all we ask for all this free content. We're trying to build a community and help as many people as possible do better in podcasting, make better podcasts, get more from their podcasts in less time. That's our goal here. And if you want to support that goal, then just click the link and send it to one person who you know would love you for it.